WCHD 3 Detroit, KMPS HD 3 Seattle, WBMX HD 3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Intuitive Song with host Lori Houston, a professional and intuitive counselor who offers authentic guidance and tools to assist you to become more conscious and connect with your divine soul, to empower you to move from your heads to your heart. Join Lori Houston with co-host Nancy Aruda, in-house astrologer, every first and third Wednesday of the month. Plus, Jennifer Kautz, our dream analysis, also joins the team. Plus, Lori can be heard on Sky Radio every Monday with Jean Adrienne on Voices of Soul, Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern each day. If you have any questions on your relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that's blocking you, and or awakening your true power as you journey from your head to your heart, call Lori Houston now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul instead of Voices of Soul. And today we have author William White Cloud. We're going to be discussing his newest book called The Last Shaman. I'm very excited to have you on the show, William, because I really loved this book. When I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. I had to finish it in the one weekend. And I enjoyed going over my notes just as much last week as I did reading it. So I have to say that I'm very excited about your new book. I loved your first book. What was it called? The Magician's Way. Yes. And this one, I love it. So welcome, William.
Thank you, Laurie. Great to be here. Thanks for having me back. And we're a match made in heaven, a book about intuition on a show called Intuitive Soul. Fabulous.
Exactly. So Magician's Way was a story. I mean, it was a story. It's the same person in the story. We've got
same
Mark
character.
Vale. Yep. Same first character. Yes. Who I find fascinating. I love the first book because it was very empowering and, you know, created a lot of excitement and interest. It was done differently. I love the fact that you take spiritual principles and you move it in a fictional type story. It's a fictional story. It's not necessarily fictional work, but it's a fictional story. The work is definitely full of spiritual truth. And your new book continues on, I guess, where The Magician's Way ended. And, I mean, I loved the story because it was done in a completely different place. So the first one was done in Australia, and this one was done in Africa. And it's a great story. We don't want to ruin the story for people. We're just going to talk about some of the spiritual truth that came out in this book so that people can still get the story and enjoy it just as much. But I do want to discuss, and the reason I got so excited is because it's a lot of the work that we've been talking about for the last few months where, you know, we've gotten and understood the law of attraction and how it works, but yet sometimes, and that's where the book sort of starts, is that we get frustrated because it's not always working. And so that's where the book sort of starts. And let's kind of discuss that because, I mean, you brought in some very interesting things called the Hitler effect, and you've talked about a lot of different things. But let's talk about, you know, why it is that sometimes, you know, we have the natural ability to create whatever we want with absolute ease, yet at some times, this gets blocked.
Yes, we do. It's a fabulous conversation. We do have the ability to. We do have a natural ability. I call it a creative spirit that has the ability to create just absolutely wonderful results for us in life in wonderful ways. And I call it also living a soul-inspired life because it is out of the territory of the usual humdrum and merry-go-round that we can find ourselves in life. You know, to give you an idea, Laurie, of this natural ability that we have, one of the first times I cottoned on to that there's something in me that can take over and, you know, just create phenomenal results is when I was learning to ski, and I'm sure a lot of people over here ski and can understand this and relate to this analogy. But when I was learning to ski, which I did in my adult life because where I grew up, there was no snow. it was a hot temperate, it's a hot tropical climate. So, but when I was learning to ski, I was an adult. And when you learn things in adulthood, they're more difficult than when you learn them in childhood and you're more nervous about them and that. So I was pretty freaked out about learning to ski. And there was this mountain I was on. There was a green run that went from the top of the mountain right down to the bottom. So beginners could go right up to the top of the mountain, then gently ski, snowplow down to the bottom. And I was doing this, and I lost contact with the group I was with. And I suddenly found myself going down a double diamond black run, the most on the whole mountain. And afterwards, they told me that some people had even died on that run and in history in the past. And I couldn't even snowplow, and I was going down this double diamond black run, and something overtook me, and something happened, and suddenly I was, you know, making turn after turn, and every turn I thought was my last one, it's going to wipe out, but I didn't. I made it down almost like an expert in the most exhilarating fashion, and I was just so pumped when I got to the bottom. I couldn't do it again. I mean, as soon as I went on a beginner slope, I fell over again, but there was this, you know, a few minutes where I suddenly, you know, became a master. And, you know, as I say, something took me over and created me getting down that hill alive, but standing. And, you know, it was just an amazing experience. And I've since discovered that there's this part of us that can do that. And then not only can it do it, it doesn't have to be a random act like I experienced then. It can be a consistent, systematic, sustained experience in our life where we can have this natural ability, this creative part of ourselves take over and create for us in magical ways where we can, you know, accomplish physical feats like I've talked about. But not only that, obviously then also attract relationships and experiences in life that are just as brilliant and magical and wonderful. And the thing is, you know, what you're talking about, Laurie, is that We know that a lot of people now have cottoned on to this with the law of attraction and the secret and things like that. A DVD series teaching us about quantum physics, like what the bleep, etc. So there's broad knowledge about these ideas now that they're not such secrets, that we can manifest and attract what we want in life. But just like you were saying, and I really experience this because I travel the world very widely. I spent time in Africa and I spent time in the States. I've been to traveled America 4 times this year. I'm in Australia, I'm all, in New Zealand, all over the place, Asia. And the thing is that, you know, people have been very excited about these ideas, but then in living with them for the last few years, what we find is that actually really people don't have, for the most part, most people don't have such a sustained, consistent relationship with these principles. They're very hit and miss, so that, you know, sometimes it seems to work, at other times it doesn't seem to work. People feel fabulous when it's working. They feel, you know, down and confused when they're not working. And, you know, worse than anything, often what people find is that in seeking to attract something, they actually attract the opposite. And so there's all kinds of beliefs that are entered into. Well, there must be beliefs that are blocking me, or desiring things is bad. And, you know, so it creates a whole counter belief system. Whereas, you know, if you know what you're doing, this can actually be a wonderful soul-inspired way of living, a brilliant way of living. But, you know, there are deeper truths to it. I remember seeing Oprah one day, Oprah Winfrey, and she was talking about the secret and the law of attraction. And she was saying how great it is that people have been made aware of that. But she said that in her opinion, from her experience and opinion, what the problem is that there are many more secrets other than the secret, the law of attraction, that you just focus on things and you know, what you focus on will then just float into your life. It actually doesn't work like that. The truth is that what you focus on will every time with absolute integrity be attracted and created. But the problem is, the big problem is that what people think they're focused on isn't necessarily what they are focused on. You see, what you're self-consciously focused on is like a tip of the iceberg. Your self-consciousness is like an iceberg. They say you only see 10% of an iceberg sticking out above the water, and 90% of it is underneath the water, the bulk of that iceberg. So too with your thoughts and feelings. What you self-consciously perceiving in your mind and think is what is your reality, that your focus, say, there you are, you've got a picture in your mind, and you think, well, this is what I'm focused on, but it's not, because the truth is that your true, ultimate, deeper focus, your iceberg, as it were, iceberg, is what's down below there, what's promoting your focus. And Neil Donald Walsh calls it a sponsoring thought. He says, so, yeah, thoughts create reality, but what you don't realize is that there are sponsoring thoughts. Each thought has a sponsor, so it's what's behind that thought. And so that's what I really am looking to address in my second book, The Last Shaman, is that wisdom to know what's going on in your consciousness, the deeper levels of awareness, so that you can really masterfully bring your focus to bear and actually, you know, consistently, powerfully, sustainably create the soul-inspired life, the life that we'd all love to lead and are totally capable of living.
Yeah, I completely agree. You want to explain the Hitler effect? Because I loved how you brought that into the story, and I don't know if that's what you call it or whether that...
It's the Hitler effect. I mean, one interviewer who hadn't actually read the book like you have said, oh my God, that sounds terrible. And, you know, Hitler is a charged name and word in...
Yes.
In life and society and that, but it's just an analogy in the book where one of the characters just uses Hitler as an example, because this is the very thing we're talking about, Laurie, about manifesting, and this is what the character's explaining in using Hitler as an extreme example. But in that extreme, you know, we use extreme examples always to make things clear. So it's a very articulate and clear example, because what the character in the book is describing and is explaining is what I've just been talking about now, is these sponsoring thoughts. It's a bit like, you know, our politicians. When we vote for someone, they go on radio and TV and we see them at rallies and all that, and they promise us all sorts of things. And then when we elect them, we're disappointed because they don't fulfill those promises, because the truth behind them is there are other forces behind them. They've been sponsored and funded by other groups and organizations and business lobbies and all that they then have to fulfill. They have to pay back for that. So they don't necessarily keep their promises and turn out fulfilling what they said they would. And that's just like our thoughts and our visions and what we focus on doesn't always end up manifesting in the way that we expect. Because the point is here is that, you see, when we go for something, and let's just use a very simplistic example, one that we can all understand and relate to, because it's something we all need and want at some time in our lives. And that's
actually, William, we're going to go to break. Why don't you hold that thought? We'll come back with that example when we come back from break. Because that's a perfect way to segue into our next segment. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. I have William Whitecloud. William can be found on the web at williamwhitecloud.com. Check him out. There's two books that I highly recommend. His first one called The Magician's Way, and the second one, which we're talking about today, that's actually just come out, is The Last Shaman. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Laurie Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Laurie is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of Quantum Change. She's developed and teaches the Inner Speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. I'm closer to where I started. I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've ever longed to. I'm standing here until you make me move. I'm hanging by a moment here with you. We're getting old, I'm lacking. Completely incomplete. I'll take your invitation. You take all of me.
Is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul today. We will be back on Voices of Soul coming back in the new year, although I do think we have an encore up at the end of the month. Today, we're talking with William Whitecloud, who has written a fabulous new book called The Lost Shaman, and it's a wonderful fictional story that goes into some incredible spiritual truths. His first one, The Magician's Way, also brought in some very empowering spiritual truths. If you haven't read either of them, I would say excellent Christmas gift for the upcoming season, and just for yourself to get inspired again. Now, we were gonna end the last segment with an example. So why don't we start with the example of helping people understand what we're talking about?
Yes, Laurie, we were talking about how the law of attraction sometimes, even often, doesn't work and even works in reverse.
Yeah.
And saying that the problem is with our focus, our self-conscious focus, is that it's like the tip of the iceberg. What we see self-consciously and what we focused on and think about and visualize in our minds, we can tend to think, well, that's all there is to it. But there's something much deeper to our focus than that. And it's just simply this, is that I was using the simplistic example of finances, of money, is that if we find someone who is choosing to manifest money, is seeking money and focused on money, and I actually, this is a good example because I often come across people who say to me, look, William, I'm trying to make money. I'm focused on money. I think about nothing else about money. And I'm not making the money. In fact, I'm going backwards. And the problem is, and what I'm always able to help people out with this, is to look deeper and say, okay, so let's look at what's motivating your need for money. Is a lack of money? Is a desperation? Is a fear around money? Whatever it is, some kind of what I call a negative vision, a negative motivation. The motivation is negative, and that then creates the desire for the end result. And so while people are thinking, oh, my end result is money, that's why I'm focused on why don't I make money, they don't appreciate that the subconscious, the creative spirit, the natural ability within us, that the subconscious part of us that creates what we experience in life and receive in life, is looking at deeper levels, and it's looking at what's motivating our desire for these things. And where it sees this negative vision, it realizes, it knows that the power, or what it assumes anyway, is that the power is in this negative vision, in the fear, in the lack, or whatever. And so that is actually the deeper focus, and that's what can be created oftentimes without people realizing it. And as we were talking about, Laurie, in my new book, The Last Shaman, one of the characters refers to it as the Hitler effect, because he's giving the example of Hitler, of this character in history who is bent on power mongering and developing this phenomenal power, which he did with amazing initial success. But it's a historical fact. We all know historically, anyone who's studied history knows it's, as I say, a historical fact, that Hitler's power mongering was motivated by a deep sense of shame and powerlessness from his earlier life. And so that's what motivated his power mongering. And although he had this phenomenal initial success, at the end he was, and his nation was crushed absolutely and completely. And what was borne out and reflected was the humiliation and powerlessness that drove him in the first place, is what it all reverted back to. And that can be, in a less sinister and extreme way, but nevertheless can be playing out in our own lives. And I see it playing out. I catch myself that phenomenon playing out in my own life, in my own way, and other people's lives. And so, real life mastery, real creative mastery lies on knowing thyself. As I also use that expression in the book, you really do. You if you want to work these powerful principles, it's not as simple as it might look on the surface. You have to have some level of depth to yourself and your process in order to master it and work it.
Yeah, and I think that's the brilliant part about all of this, is that You've mentioned some of the key things in all of the work that we're trying to do, and certainly what the book has been masterful at showing people is that, one, it's our motivation. We don't always know or understand our motivation. Usually our motivation is fear-based versus love-based, because it's from acknowledging or seeing what we want different. It's from seeing, the things that we want to fix or change. And so our motivation comes from fear versus from a place of expansive acceptance of what's going on. So it's always, you know, from that place that we're trying to change or fix something. It's in knowing ourselves so that we can understand who we are and not try to be someone that we're not. Most of the time in our lives, we're solely focused on, you know, trying to make other people like us. So most of our motivation is, again, from that place in fear, not from a place of love. And so it's really all about completely understanding who we are, what motivates all of our actions and decisions and choices, and how we can come to terms or come to a place of acceptance or come from a neutral place so that we're not radiating from the same place or we're not. I loved in the book how you talked about the spectrum of, if let's use again the example of money. So in one place, on one end of the spectrum is poverty consciousness, and the other is abundance. Yet, because it's on the same spectrum, we have both. We have the duality of it, and that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, it's a real principle of alchemy that you cannot. It's like Einstein said: the mind that created a problem can't solve it. And it's a very alchemical principle that anything is on the same vibration as its opposite, as hot and cold is. You don't have one thermometer to read heat and one thermometer to read cold. They're on the same gauge. They're just at different ends of the spectrum. And it's just like that with poverty or abundance. And so if you want to overcome poverty, you can't sort of drag yourself towards abundance because it's on the same vibration. The alchemists say you've got to use the higher against the lower. And you see, what this refers to in a very practical way, Laurie, is that the way human beings, I won't even say the vast majority, I'll just say it's just a human tendency that how we orientate in life is just based on our circumstances. We find ourselves in circumstances in life, whatever that is, you know, the economy, financial situations, our love life, our self, even our self-image is a circumstance. So we just find ourselves in these circumstances, and then the human tendency is to think is, well, my purpose in life is to sort my circumstances out and, better my circumstances. And so that is the motivating factor in people's lives, and then they go about working out how to improve their lot in life, their circumstances in life, and whatever that is, their financial situation, their self-image, whatever it is. And the trouble is with that is that what people don't often realize is that, look, your belief creates reality. So your circumstances anyway were created by your beliefs. And so in trying to get out of the circumstances that your beliefs have created, You try and work it out, try and understand, and try and cope. But the part of you that does that, the problem with the part of you that does that is that the rational linear part of your mind. And the rational linear part of your mind isn't creative. It doesn't look at freshly what's the reality of the situation in this moment. What are the creative connections that can be made? What are the possibilities that exist? It just looks to the past, and it looks to your belief system, looks to your experience for answers. And, you know, it just engages the same old strategies that put you where you are in the first place anyway. So, you know, you're just on this merry-go-round. And to get out of that, you know, you have to look deeper. You have to go to another place. You've got to go into the territory of your soul, of your soul-inspired mode of awareness, where you can see beyond that. And you see that when you go into that territory, it's very different. What is motivating you, what you're looking at, and what you're inspired by isn't just, you know, getting to the opposite side of your circumstances. There what you find is actually what you find your heart, what you really care about, what's important to you, what your real purpose in life is. And so, you know, then you discover what really is meaningful to you, and you get on with that. And you see the change that happens from there is that, well, then that's what starts to manifest in your life, what is truly meaningful to you, what you love, etc. But the funny thing about it is, at the same time, it takes care of your circumstances. So it's a very paradoxical orientation. In the former orientation, in the egoic orientation, you're trying to get away from your circumstances, but often perpetuating them. In the other orientation, you're not trying to get away from your circumstances. You're going towards what you love, but simultaneously, magically, I would even say, you're taking care of your circumstances as well. I mean, it's just a total win-win. It's a total win-win situation in the soul orientation, in the soul-inspired intuitive orientation.
Nice. All right, we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with William Whitecloud. He can be found on the web at williamwhitecloud.com. William has written two books. This is the second book that we're discussing, but I don't think it's necessary that you have to have the first one to read the second one, although I think the storyline with the two of them are very empowering. So if you did want, you know, a nice empowering read over the holidays, this would be a great opportunity to get both books to understand all of the truths that we are talking about today and that we've spoken about before. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
A smile or a grin. Well, she won't give in. But what she sure is differing. Well, it's written here, all in her eyes. There's no disguise. Well, she lost so much in Tivoli. Together we could go. So strong. Well, she won't let on that I'm never gonna leave her alone. Well, it's written here, all in her eyes. There's no disguise. Well, she lost so much in Tivoli. Together we could go.
Yay. Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul today. Today we have William Whitecloud, who is the author of a great new book called The Last Shaman. And we've been talking about it. Now, I have done an interview with William before, and it is on my website, intuitivesoul.com. So if you'd like to know more about his first book, The Magician's Way, it's definitely a good listen, because we go into a lot of detail about spiritual truths. Not, again, so much the story. The story is set with a character named Mark Bale, who I believe has, you know, some similarities to William Whitecloud. Is that accurate?
Well, look, in so far as we've both been through profound transformations. I mean, Mark Bale is a character in both books, in The Magician's Way and The Last Shaman, goes through really profound transformations, and I have been there myself. I mean, I've been through a very profound self-transformation in my life, brought on by an illness. I suffered an illness for 10 years, and a very horrible illness that took me to my deathbed, you know, right up onto my deathbed. And the thing about that was that nobody knew what was wrong with me, and I suffered terribly. And, you know, it ended when I met someone who told me that they knew what was wrong with me, and that the cure for what was wrong with me would be that I start eating red meat and drinking some white wine with my meals and smoking some cigarettes every day and drinking coffee, which, you know, everyone else, you know, all the complementary healthcare people and clinical professionals that were trying to look after me, they didn't know what was wrong with me, but they all would have agreed, 100% of them would have agreed that what this person was suggesting was absolute nonsense, that was pure poison and suicidal talk. But anyway, I gave it a go, and I got better instantly. Now, the thing about that was that I never from that experience ever believed that there was any efficacy in the substances themselves. All of those things, I don't drink, and coffee freaks me out, and I eat very little red meat in my diet to this day. So I never thought that those things actually were really responsible for healing me. I just drew the conclusion that there's something about the way in which I focus that creates my experience of life, because for 10 years I've been completely focused on being ill and trying to get better and getting more and more desperate. It's what we're talking about before, this focus on being sick and in the end the focus on actually the idea that I was dying, because I was even receiving deathbed counseling. So then, but when I just let go of all of that and we just went, yeah, you know, what the hell, I had a completely different experience in life. And so from that, it's an amazing, startling experience in life. And the conclusion I came from, I became very dedicated to discovering, to learning more about how this principle worked, that we our focus creates our reality in life. And so, you know, so that I could learn it and apply it in a conscious way so that I could create living my bliss and having more of what I love in life instead of this nightmare that I'd created for myself. And you know, so I went through this massive J curve in my life from where, you know, I was living one way and creating certain results to then living another way and creating an entirely different set of results and, you know, just absolutely transforming myself. And although Mark Vail doesn't have the same personality as me and doesn't go through illness as his medium for transformation, he nevertheless goes through a radical transformation and learns everything that I've come to learn and am passing on through these books, The Magician's Way and Lars Sharman, which I'm very proud of, you know, Laurie, I've got to say, because, you see, the thing is, in today's society, there's a lot of information and people know a lot. But the one thing I've really learned is that people use all of this information in a very ad hoc way and sort of a very random way and apply bits and pieces here and there. But what I've sought to address and offer and supply is really, you know, a strong foundation and a system for people, a model for people that will get them focused, that will get them moving and generating momentum and sustaining a path in life where they are magically and wonderfully creating what they want in life, that life is the blissful experience that they would love it to be.
Right. Right. Perfect. Okay, so part of the answer that you come to is this bit about the duality versus coming into this place of innocence. So we keep focus on the duality of it, so both sides of the spectrum. Where we need to come from is this place of not only innocence, but coming from a higher frequency, a higher vibration, and not the higher vibration of the same spectrum, but the higher vibration within ourselves.
Beyond ourselves.
Yes, beyond ourselves. The little self versus the big self.
You know, the funny thing is about innocence, we associate the term with naivety and smallness and childishness. But actually, historically, innocence has been revered as the most powerful creative and spiritual force there is going. I mean, there's nobody that would disagree with that who knows what they're talking about, from Christ, who said, only as a child can you enter the kingdom of heaven, to, you know, William Blake, to Einstein. I mean, you name it. Even if you read the original version of King Arthur by Robert Mallory, the most powerful knight in the kingdom is a knight called Galahad. And he has a sword called the Fleur-de-Lis, which is the most powerful sword that all of those knights have. And his power is based on innocence. You see, because this is what innocence is. This is what innocence means, what I'm going to explain right now, is that, you see, normally the misconception that we operate under in life as human beings is that, as I said before, we find ourselves in circumstances and we want to deal with our circumstances. And how we want to deal with our circumstances is we want to understand our circumstances. We want to understand the answers to our problems and we want to work it out. So we actually live life through a fixing, working out kind of orientation where, you know, we actually then... all we're doing by doing that is bringing our rational faculties to bear. So we're keeping ourselves contained in our belief systems that the rational faculties created in the first place. And so to get out of that loop, to get out of that merry-go-round, we have to go outside of it and we have to soften our focus and initially not know anything, give up our need to understand, work out and control, and go into the void and know nothing. And it's that place that then what is in our highest good to know and the highest information then is attracted to us. And we receive the wisdom from that place. And that is what innocence is. I mean, you can, if you think about it, what's innocence? It means in no sense, outside of thoughts and feelings, outside of our egoic perception. And so innocence is a very powerful spiritual and creative force. There's nothing childish about it at all. It's for warriors.
Right. Well, when I think of the innocence, I think of childlike wonder, where we haven't defined everything. We haven't, our senses haven't already determined what something is or what someone is. We haven't made the judgments. We're looking at life through possibilities instead of our definitions and judgments and the way our egos already defined something. So I think that's how I see innocence, and I know that that's how you agree, and I think we're both saying it the same way. We're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul with William Whitecloak. He can be found on the web at williamwhitecloud.com. Check out his books. I believe both of them are wonderful tools to assist you based on a story, to allow you to grow with the story and understand the principles from an explanation instead of just reading the principles. The first book was The Magician's Way, and the second book that we're talking about today is called The Lost Shaman. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Smile or regret. Well, she won't give in, but what she sure is different. Well, it's written here, all in her eyes. There's no disguise. Well, she lost so much in Tivoli. Together we could go. So strong. Well, she won't let on that I'm never gonna leave her alone. Well, it's written here, all in her eyes. There's no disguise. Well, she lost so much in Tivoli. Together we could go.
Live the life you've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, a threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Believe.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back This is Intuitive Soul. Today I have William Whitecloud, and we've been discussing his latest book, The Last Shaman. And it's a great story for people who want some spiritual truths in a story form. And I love how it was done, and I love a lot of the truths that are in there. And it kind of expanded from his first book, The Magician's Way. So we've been talking a lot about, I guess, the next place to go, and we've already discussed it, but, you know, how the ego has been, you know, very clever in defining everything, and we kind of get stuck in the game. We're not, you know, we're trying to fix things, we're trying to change things. We want to come from that childlike place, but we can't come from that place if we're already predefining everything, and our ego and our mind has already determined, you know, what everything is. There's no magic left.
No. The thing, Laurie, is that I think is the, you know, if you look at things most fundamentally, and that, I think that's where you what you should do, because that is what's going to bring you the most success and the biggest change in life, is if you look at the foundation of anything, is that the foundation for the way we operate in life is actually fixing ourselves, if you think about it, because what orientates us is our beliefs. And if you look at beliefs, what are our beliefs? Well, you see, as a premise, we're pure creative spirit. I mean, really, we're an essence. We're a spirit. We're a soul. And we're connected to everything through all of time and space. That's actually the basis of our creative power. But the problem is there's a snag to it, I would say, is that in coming here, we've come here to have an individual experience of existence, a sense of individual experience. And so we have to separate ourselves. I mean, it's scientifically accepted and understood that when a child is born, it feels like it's part of everything. It doesn't know that it's even different from its own mother. So we have to individuate. We have to separate. And we do that by creating beliefs. We establish beliefs. And if you analyze beliefs and look at them and think about them, beliefs are just ideas of separation. They are what separate us. And so they're good in a way because they create our individual sense of existence. But they leave us feeling unwhole, separate, and that we are separate from our worth, from our belonging, from our capability, from our visibility, you name it. And so then, underlying, we have the sense of incompleteness, unwholeness, invalidity, and then our orientation, our motivation in life then is to fix ourselves, is to become whole. But the problem is then that we go about that in a way that just puts the attention back on the way that we feel and believe that we aren't whole. And then we create more of that, and that creates our circumstances, and then we try and cope with that. And we're just in this vicious cycle of chasing our tails and trying to fix ourselves and, you know, complicating things by creating more of what we want to get away from, and ultimately actually feeling more and more separate and more unconnected. Because I work with a lot of people, and when I just really sit them down and I'm with them and I get them to be with themselves, they can really just feel how separate they feel they are. And so, you see, the thing is then what we've got to appreciate and realize is actually we're not. We're totally fine. We are whole. We're okay as we are right now. We are whole. And the thing is, once you realize that, and even you don't even have to believe it, but once you begin assuming that, then you begin to see life in a totally different way. From a place of wholeness, I mean, suddenly your motivation changes. Someone who's whole doesn't have to fix themselves, doesn't have to worry about so many things that they normally worry about. And so now suddenly your motivation in life is very different. And you're just in touch with your heart, which means that you're in touch with what you're truly connected with, what really matters to you. And you start going for that. You start involving yourself in that. And that's the only thing ever in life that's going to make you happy, that's going to make you well, that's going to make you powerful, is what really matters to you. All the other stuff doesn't matter to you. So it doesn't get you anywhere anyway, even if you're successful in it. And so the whole thing then is that once we start operating from wholeness, then we become in a sense, super creative and also super fulfilled. And it's just a whole different way of being and operating in life. And, you know, as I was saying before, I'm so proud of these books because this is centrally what they address and support people in coming to and living from.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's amazing. And I think, you know, you've brought it all together in a nice, easy way so that people can understand it. And I think that's, you know, the more simplified we can make things, the easier it is for people. I mean, I know it's not easy. This incredible journey that we're on, that we are all a part of, feels very complicated at times. And the more simplified we can make things, the more easily we'll be able to fall into the acceptance that we're looking for. And I love the books that you've written. I think they're great. I think people need to, sometimes we just need to hear it over and over again before we can fully embrace and understand something. And I love how you've written it in the book. I think you do go over some of the main truths several times so that people can really get a grasp at it. And when you give examples, as you do in a story format, people are able to understand it better.
Well, thanks for saying that, Laurie. And it is simple, you know, and one of the things that makes it complicated is, as I was saying before, is we could have a lot of knowledge about things, but then we hold it in such a disparate way. But what I've tried to do, and I hope I've succeeded in that, is put it together actually in a simple way, and in a way that it puts it together. So how do you systematically apply that? Because that's the trick. It is simple, but you know, there are just some simple steps that if you just keep taking those steps, then this whole soul-inspired way of life manifests so powerfully, consistently, and sustainably. And the trick, as I say, is not to just have all the disparate knowledge. You know, like I know so many people that just know so much stuff, and then they're out at sea with it all, and then you give them a little piece of information, they go, oh, thanks, that's what I needed to know now. And then they're off until they lose it again, you see.
Unfortunately, we do have to get going. You can find your book on Amazon. Is there any better place? Oh, in your website, williamwhitecloud.com. Thank you, William, so much for writing these books and for coming on my show today.
Thanks, Laurie. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to hang out with you on the air here.
Yay. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. Find William on his website at williamwhitecloud.com. We've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.